First John chapter number 4. And we'll get there here in just a second. But before we do, as you're turning and once you get there, we'll get y'all to help me this morning with something. Just a kind of introduction to kind of start the message and get a little interaction and a little help this morning if we can. We talked about dictionaries and commentaries and a little bit of that type of stuff in Sunday school for a minute or two this morning. And I didn't use a dictionary for this on purpose this morning. And so I'm going to use y'all this morning. Let y'all be the dictionary or the commentary. And so two questions for you. And y'all just help me in different ones. First question is this. Give me a definition of the word no. You know something. What does the word no mean? Just
understand.
Understand, okay. Give me another one. Brent's jumping ahead of me already. What's the word no?
Be certain of.
To be certain of?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, okay. Any other thoughts? All those are good. Just a definition of?
Surety.
Okay. A definition for the word knowledge.
Smart.
To know something. Smart.
To have to learn. To learn something.
Okay.
To understand.
Okay. All right. So y'all all kind of on the same page, right? Everybody's kind of similar definitions and everything. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a second question, and now you'll see why I'm kind of okay with what you're giving me. Give me a definition for the word understand. And if you want to go back and re-explain the first one, you can.
No.
To know. So to know is to understand, and to understand is to know. Did I get it right? A definition for the word understand. If you understand something, what is that saying?
In sync with.
In sync with, okay.
She said fully comprehend.
That's a good one. To fully comprehend something. And so now I'm going to ask you a third question I hadn't planned on. What is the difference then? What's the difference between knowledge, to know something, and to understand something? Or is there no difference at all? Is there a difference? Let me ask that first.
Oh, yeah.
There is a difference. Oh, okay. So what is the difference between knowing and understanding something? That's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. Keep those thoughts, all those things y'all said, I said in mind, because I think a lot of times we think that if we know something, then what's know mean? Understand. And that's good. I'm glad y'all gave those answers. And you just think about them, because I would have said some of the same similar things, but what does it really mean to know something versus what does it mean to understand something? Because this morning the title of the message simply is this: some things I don't understand, but I know. Some things I don't understand, but I know. Let's pray before we go any further. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your Word tonight, dear Lord, this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, that we can come and open Your Word any time of the day, that You've given us a copy that we can take, dear Lord, an accurate copy that we can take and read and study and learn from, because Your Holy Spirit gives us understanding. It gives us help, dear Lord, of these things. Dear Father, I pray now this morning as we take and look at Your Word that You would anoint us, that You'd hide us behind the cross, that Your Holy Spirit would, dear Lord, have free working and freedom, dear Lord. Give us the liberty that we need this morning, that everything that's said and done will be according to Your will, and that You might work in our hearts and do what needs to be done. And we give You the glory ahead of time for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is a difference between knowing something and understanding something. There's a lot of things this morning that I think I can say this with confidence. There's a lot of things I know. I know a lot of things. I don't know as much as some of y'all do about things, and most of y'all in here probably know a whole lot more than I do, but I do know about a lot of things. And you think this morning there's sometimes we meet people in our lives and they know everything. Y'all ever met some of those people before? They know absolutely everything. You just ask them and they'll tell you. They know. And they know, we call them what?
Mr. Know-It-All.
know-it-all, right? Mr. or Miss Know-It-All. And they know everything there is to know about everything. They're experts on everything. You just ask them, they'll tell you. And we know that. Y'all have met people. Hopefully there's nobody, as far as I know of, there's nobody in here that feels that way this morning. But I've met people, and whether they actually would admit that they act like they know it all or not and say, no, I don't know it all, but then they act like they know it all. And so we have some who think they know it all, and we have some that act like they know it all, even though they don't know it all. But know-it-alls. Sometimes we run across those type of people and we meet them. But this morning I submit to you, there's a lot of things that I do know about. There's a lot of things I have knowledge of. But honestly, how much do we really understand? Because a lot of the things that I know about, a lot of the things I have knowledge of, I don't understand. Because when you really sit down and you think about the difference between knowing something and understanding something, it's a huge difference. Because tonight, this morning, just a simple example, I know that if I walk over and turn that light switch and flip it down, the light's going to do what? Go off. I know that. Now, do I understand that? No. Do I know that if I take and I go out, I hope, and I know that if I go out and I take and get in my car after church and I put the key in and turn it, that the car's going to crank up? I hope so, that that's going to happen, right? We know that. But do I understand how all that works? No. Now, some of y'all in here might have more knowledge than I do when it comes to how all that works. This fires this and this does this, and that's why it does what it does, you know, and it cranks up. But to know and to understand is two totally different things. Maybe some of y'all know about some things, and then you could say, well, I understand all this of how it works. And you know, knowledge of something is a whole different ball of wax than understanding this morning. If we're honest about it, there's a lot of things we know, but probably very few that we actually understand, if you will. None of us today understand a lot of things. Many today study, I thought about this, many today study their whole lives different subjects, different things. Many today study for years in college, they study, and I studied for a few years some different things, different subjects. Have a graduate of theology degree, and I graduated, so I got some knowledge of studying about God. And Brother Brent, he's got some knowledge about history and teaching and English and all those things. And I don't, Brother, what was your exact degree? Do you remember?
I was a history major.
History major, okay. That's what his title was. And so he's graduated. So he knows everything there is to know about history. He has, yeah, he's forgotten it. He used to. You're one of those I've forgotten more than you'll ever know. I've had a person tell me that. I've forgotten more than you'll ever know. You ever had anybody tell you that before? And I look at him and think, yeah, sure. And anyway, but they have, you know, knowledge of everything, but there's a difference when it comes to understanding. Knowing about something, knowing that you do something, but understanding gets into the workings, if you will, of something. How actually it operates. Why it does what it does. You know. And so you think about the difference. But many go to school for many years and many years of college and higher education, I had in parentheses, so-called, and they even take and they spend all this time and spend their whole lives just learning and accumulating all this knowledge about things. But then in the end, do you really truly understand it? You know, I submit to you that even a lot of doctors, if they were honest, and even a lot of people that study our bodies and the way they do different things, if they were honest, they might have more understanding than you and I do about how the body works, but they don't fully understand it. Because to understand everything there is about the way God made us and all the things around us, there's nobody that truly knows it all, that understands it all, that might know some things about it. But here a lot of times I had in my notes, in fact, oftentimes those that do all this education and studying on these things to accumulate not just knowledge, but understanding. That's really what they're wanting, is to understand these things and how they work. But oftentimes those that spend all this time trying to not just know about it, but to understand it, they a lot of times miss the simple truths because there's so much into the depths of it, if you will, the complexities of things. And sometimes we'll say it this way, people just don't have common sense no more. That's kind of what I'm saying, because there's so much into studying the depths of it that they miss, oh yeah, That is. You know, you miss the simple things. I've done that in my life. I've been down into studying something so much or looking at something in the Word of God or something at work, and I miss. Right there it is. You know, and we do that a lot of times. And so oftentimes the education, sometimes it causes us to miss those simple truths that's right there in front of us because we're worried so much about the complex things. There's truly only one that knows and understands it all and that is a know-it-all, and that is God. He is truly the only one that has knowledge of everything and that understands everything. You know why? Because He created everything. That's why He knows everything. That's why He understands everything. And so this morning, God does know it all, if you will. There's only been one man that's ever walked the face of this earth that has knew it all and that has understood it all. Does anybody know who that is? Christ, the Son of Man. The Son of God. He's the only man that's ever taken and walked this earth that has knew it all and that has understand it all. The Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Why? Because He was fully God and He was fully man. We use this word a lot of times to describe God and to describe Jesus. The word omniscience, meaning all knowing. He knows everything, and within that He also understands everything. He understands how it works, how it's made up, the details. But one with the other, but on the other hand, there's some things this morning, a lot of things, like I said, that I know about that I don't understand. But there is some things this morning that you and I can know and that we can understand, that we can know and have confidence about, but yet not understand. You know, I think about that. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean you don't have knowledge about something. Amen? Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you don't have understanding. You can have knowledge about something and be assured of that and have confidence in that even though you don't understand how it works. Amen? You know, I've got knowledge this morning that these right here take, and if I put them on, I can see. Now, how that works, I have no clue. I don't understand how that works, but I know it does. Just a little piece of glass in front of my eyeball makes it go from not being able to see nobody's face, just blurs. I can see sort of, but right here now I can see you crystal clear. How that works, I do not understand, but I know that it works. So we can have confidence about some things even though we don't understand them this morning. Keep that in mind. There's a lot I don't understand, but yet I have full confidence. I have knowledge of these things. I have assurance concerning these things because of my finite mind. There's a lot of things I don't understand, and I'm not giving up this morning. I'm not saying, well, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to study anything. I'm not going to learn anything. You can take this to the extreme, what I'm talking about this morning, and say, well, I just can't understand that. Some people's like that. I'm not going to study that. I'm not going to look at that. I can't understand that. And they'll just give up. That's the wrong attitude to have. But I am convinced this morning there's a lot of things that I'm just not going to understand. But I can know these things. You see, there's a big difference. Some things I don't understand, but I know. There's some things I know of that I know I will not understand because my mind is finite. But yet God understands these things because He is infinite. And you see, that's the difference this morning. Here in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at a couple of verses. I want to show you three simple things this morning that we may continue this evening or later on at some point, but I'm just going to give you three for the sake of time. There's lots of things that we can look at with this thought line of some things I don't understand, but I know. There's three things this morning from Scripture we'll look at. The first thing that I know, but I do not understand, is 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. We'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Here it is. "For God is love." There's one thing this morning, first off, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but yet I do not understand, and that is that God loves us. I do not understand that this morning. I cannot understand that. Why God, that took and created the whole universe, everything around us, that is infinite, that is all-powerful, that is all-knowing, God, why He would love a little speck of dirt like me. That I do not understand this morning, folks. I cannot understand that. I can study for the rest of my life this book. I can study all the commentaries in the world and hear it put in the best English language of the best words that it could be, or the best other languages and the best words and oratories that could be given on it, and the best language that could be used. But I can never honestly sit down and tell you that I understand why He loves me. I can't understand that this morning. I know that it's true. I know it's a fact because of what the Bible says right here. It says, God is love. This morning, I can't understand that God would love me, that God would love you. I mean, think about what we are at our being. We're just dirt. Amen? We're just dirt. That's all we are. But yet God takes and He loves you and He loves me this morning. That's something I do not understand, but I know. The Bible said God is love. Notice verse 16 of the same chapter. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Notice again the first part, he said, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Here he knew it and he believed it. You see today, folks, I don't understand the love of God, but I can say exactly with him, I know it and I believe it. Amen. I know that God loves me. I believe that God loves me. I know God loves you. I believe that God loves you. But to understand it, I don't. You see this morning, but I'm glad that I don't have to understand it. All I've got to do is believe it. You see this morning, that's good to me. That's a help to me. Because you see, to go out and drive that car, guess what? I don't have to understand it. All I got to do is believe it. All I got to do is believe it. These glasses, I don't have to understand how they work. All I got to do is say, okay, they work. I believe it. That's all you got to do this morning. You don't have to understand. All you have to do is to know it, to believe it. And this applies to so many areas in our lives, what we're talking about this morning. And so many things concerning Scripture. I'm glad to know this morning, not to understand. I wish I could, but I don't. But I'm glad that I know that He loves me. His love is perfect this morning. His love is perfect. His love is all the same. This is His perfect love. You see, love is perfect. True love, God's love, is perfect, and He loves everyone just the same. He doesn't love me more than you. He doesn't love the greatest preacher in the world, the greatest missionary in the world that's ever walked the face of the earth. He doesn't love the greatest singer that's ever sung the greatest song, that's wrote the greatest song. He doesn't love them any more or any less than He loves you and loves me. It doesn't matter. He loves us all the same this morning. Now, can I understand that? No. Because how does mine and your love work? I love everybody in here this morning. But you know what? If I'm honest with you, there's one of y'all in here that I'm more partial to than the others. And y'all could say the same thing if you're honest, right? You see, this morning, I don't understand how God loves me the way that He does. But I know it's true. I know it's true this morning. I know that it's true. His love is a perfect love. You say, how do you know that He loves you? Well, John 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. I am a part of this world. Amen? I am a part of this world. We all, the world, that's everybody. That's all inclusive. Everybody, for God so loved the world. John, 1 John 3 and verse 16, right across from where you're at. 1 John 3:16 says this, ties in real good with John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here you see that He loves us this morning. Jesus loves us. God loves us this morning. His love is perfect. His love is equal. It's the same. He loves all the same. His love this morning is perfect, and because it's perfect, it's the same, but it also His love gifts. As we just read in 1 John 3:16 and John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. You see, this morning, God's love is one that gives. Amen? Our love is one. A true love is one that gives. If you truly love somebody, you won't help but to be able to give. You won't help but be able to give. Sometimes you can give without loving, but I submit that you can't love without giving. You will this morning take and give because of the love that you have. And you see, this morning God took and gave His Son, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of how much He loves us this morning. Simple thought here. The greatest love gave the greatest gift. What else could He give? The greatest love gave the greatest gift for those that needed it the greatest and the most, and that's you and me. Amen? The whole world. You see, this morning, His love is something that I know, but it's something that I don't understand. He loves all the same. He loves all equally. He loves us so much that He gave even His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us." That shows He loves us. "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even while we were sinners, even while we was lost and undone, and we were enemies, if you will, of God, we were lost. He still died for us. He still loved us despite the shape and the condition that we was in. I talked to Brother Murphy the other day when I picked up the tracks. And he expressed to me a new view I had never knew that anybody had before. People's got all kinds of ideas out there today. But he told me that he heard a preacher preaching, and he knew some others who believe this, that Jesus does not love people before they get saved. It's afterwards that He loves them. Now, folks, that's just craziness. And this is supposedly an independent Baptist preacher. "For God so loved the world." What did the verse just say? The verse I just quoted to you. "For God commended His love toward," but "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's simple and plain. God loves us. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're saved, whether you're lost, God loves all of us. And He died for everybody that all might be saved. Do you understand that, Pastor? No, I don't. I can't explain that to you. I can just simply tell you what the Word of God says. I don't understand it, but you know what? I know it. You see, there's some things I don't understand, but I know this morning. His love is perfect. It's one that gives. It's one that's equal. It's the one that's same. It's the one that's available for all. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness." I'm glad we don't have a slack God like us a lot of times. "But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That sounds like His love to me. "I do not understand His love, but I know this morning," as the old children's song says, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so." You see, this morning, I'm glad to know that I don't have to understand that. David don't understand that. But I guarantee you one thing, he knows it, because I tell him it all the time. I say, "David, Daddy loves you," and he'll say, "Jesus loves you." I'm here to tell you today, that's one of the greatest messages we can tell the young people and the old people. All people. Older people, excuse me. I ain't supposed to call them by old people. Young people, middle-aged people, teen. All people. Amen? You don't have to understand it. All you got to do today is know it and believe it. That Jesus loves you. And that's something I can't understand. But I do know this morning that He loves us. And He loves the whole world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28, and we'll see the second thing. Some things that I don't understand, but I do know. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 1. Matthew 28 and verse number 1. We're going to read a few verses here to get the whole account of what's taking place, even though I think we're all really familiar with it. Matthew 28, 1. And just listen closely to the words of Scripture. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The second thing this morning that I know but I don't understand is that he lives. He lives. I'm glad to know today that Jesus Christ lives. You say, why don't you understand that? That's simple. Jesus lives, right? But do you really understand that? Think about that. Let me back up and let's think about this for a minute. Do you really understand that? Because if Brother... Lord, I don't want you... You mind if I use your name? Brother Gary, if he was to take... And today, God forbid, this was to be his last day here on earth. And then 3 days later, Brother Gary's alive again. Now you tell me you're going to understand that? You don't understand that, do you? I don't understand. I wouldn't understand how if I was to die and be stone cold dead, had the funeral, everything buried, and the next thing you know, 3 days later, here I am. Before the next Sunday service, I'm preaching again the next Sunday despite I died during the week. I don't understand that. I would know, okay, well, there he is. He's alive, and I know he was dead. I went to his funeral, you know, or shook hands with Kelly, you know, or shook... He's gone. But yet, here he is again. I know I seen him laying there in that casket, not moving. You know, they declare, I got his death certificate right here. Got the obituary where it was in the paper right here, right? You know, I heard all them people saying them bad things about him when he died, right? You know? You know, all them good things. I didn't know he was such a good person, right? You know, you hear all these things, I'm like, is that the same person I knew? Either way, you know, good or bad. Is that the same person I knew? But no, I don't understand. I know this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. I know that, but I don't understand it. How in the world he could take and be taken and endure all that he did. How he could go from the place of being crucified on a cruel cross to the Bible said that he gave up the ghost. He said that it was finished. Of how a soldier could take and throw a spear in his side and out comes the water and out comes the blood. Basically saying, okay, he's dead. We know that. It's a sure thing now. And then to take him down from the cross, to wind him up in grave clothes, right? To take and lay him in a tomb, to take and to go to Pilate and get permission to roll that stone in front of there, and to take and seal it and put guards on it with the king's seal and say, make it as sure as you can, you know? And to do all of these things, guarded by soldiers, but yet we just read right here to where he come out of that tomb. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe y'all are smarter than me, and some of y'all can break down and give me the scientific diagram after service today. But that's something I don't understand. And you know what? That's why a lot of people don't believe it. That's why a lot of people don't believe that he loves them, because they don't understand it. That's why a lot of people don't believe that he rose from the dead, because they don't understand it. But I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things in this life that we know, but yet we don't understand. Right. You see, just because you don't understand it don't mean that you don't know. You see here today, folks, there's lots of things like this in our life. And I'm glad to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's seated on the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible tells us this, that He's interceding there for you and for me. And how He can be the Father but sitting on the right hand of the Father, I have no clue, don't understand it. You know what? I don't have to. I believe it, because that's what the book says. You see, it's simple today. I don't have to understand, I just have to believe. I'm glad I don't understand how Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood, and why He would do it, and how He would do it, and rising again 3 days later, and how it's because of that that I now can go to heaven. I don't understand the why, I don't understand the how, but I know that He did. And I don't have to understand it. All I have to do is believe it and put my faith and trust in Him. You see, this morning there's some things that we know, but yet we don't understand. This morning, as the blind man said, is exactly the way I feel. In John 9:25, he said this, after the Lord Jesus had healed him, he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no," talking about Jesus, "I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see." How in the world who he is, I know one thing, I can see. "I used to be blind, but now I can see, and Jesus made me whole." Praise the Lord that that's exactly what He does with the sinner. That's what He does with you and me today. It's not about understanding everything. You don't have to take and give stand up and give a speech about how salvation works and how all these things happen and take place. You don't have to fully understand it. All you have to do is believe. Place your belief, your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone for salvation. That is how a person gets saved today. It's not about understanding. Boy, as a little child, there was a lot of things that I didn't understand at 8 years old when I got saved. I didn't understand a lot of things. If I did understand everything, guess what? I never had the need to go to Bible college. I'd never have the need. If I understood everything, think about this. If I understood everything and you understood everything, exactly, there will be no need for us to have this at home. There will be no need to sit down and read it every day. You see, you don't have to understand it all to be saved. Neither do you have to understand it all to be a servant. All you have to do simply is know and obey. Know and obey. It's the same as a little child when their parent tells them to do something. You don't have to sit there and give a 30-minute explanation. Just do it. You don't have to understand. You just have to know. You have to follow. You have to have faith. You have to obey. You have to trust, you see. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's something I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's something that I don't understand how it could be possible, how it could happen, how it could take place. I don't know. I don't understand. But I know He did. I know He did. There's some things this morning that I know, but I surely don't understand. You say, "How do you know that, Pastor?" Well, number one, I know it because He said so right here. How do I know He loves me? How do I know He lives? Because He said it right here in His Word. And that settles it. You see, I don't have to understand it. I just have to know this morning. I have to know. I have to believe. Place my faith and my trust in Him. You see, this morning, as simple as this, the second reason that I know, I would say, would be this way. Because as the old hymn says that we sing sometimes, "You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart." You see, today we don't see Him walking around. We don't see Jesus alive. I've never seen Him alive. Have you? I've never... No, Lord. As some people say they have, but that's another story. But nobody has... We've never seen Him, right? Just walking around and say, "Hey, there's Jesus. Jesus is alive. Okay, I know He's alive now." You know, like I gave the example of me or Brother Gary, or if something was to happen to us. But you know what? How do we know He lives? Because His Word tells us He lives. That's enough. And because He lives... Once we get saved, the Holy Ghost comes and indwells us, and He lives within our hearts. How do you know that? Do you understand that? No, that's something else I don't understand. The Holy Ghost and a lot of things there we could get into. I don't understand a lot of that either, but you know what? I know it. Why? How? Because He said it. Because God said it this morning. You see, there's a lot of things that we can know, and we do know, but yet we don't understand. But the third thing this morning that I know, but yet I don't understand, and this one amazes me, and it kind of ties all the other two together that we looked at, is how that this same Jesus, this same God that created the earth in 6 days, that hung the moon, the stars, the sun, that caused a bush to burn and not be consumed, that dried up the Red Sea, I was reading that in my devotions this week, that dried up the Dead Sea, dried up the sea, as dry land for His children to go across, and then caused it to come down and drown all those Egyptians, right? and all those armies and the chariots and all those things, that same God that took and clothed and fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that brought water from the rock, that brought manna from heaven, the same God that did all these things, the same one that led them through the wilderness, that gave them the victory at Jericho and Ai and so on, that gave them the promised land that they had been promised and been looking forward to for so long, how God could take a people out of somebody that was no people, you know, how God could take this same God that sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth, how He could be sent through the womb of a virgin who had never knew a man, that was fully God, but yet be fully man all at the same time. I don't understand that this same Jesus that was fully God would fully man, then be taken to the cross of Calvary, be wrongfully convicted, be crucified as an innocent man there on the cross of Calvary, that He would be buried, that He would rise again 3 days later, and then He would take and ascend back into heaven again. I don't understand all that. Do you? I don't understand all that, and I can fill in the blanks with more, but that pretty much goes from Genesis to the end. I don't understand all that. I don't understand it all. Have no understanding of it. But you know what? I know that it's true. I feel like, as the Bible says in Acts 1:11, the Bible says, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." The last point this morning, I believe, is this. I don't understand how in the world He loves me. I don't understand His love. I don't understand the fact that He lives, that He would go from being dead to life, that He lives. I don't understand that, and I don't understand this morning the third thing, but I do know is that He longs for the lost to be saved. And that's why all these things that I just named to you took place. That He would take and send His Son. That all these things that we just named, that He would do all of this and work in His people's hearts and His people's lives and come through the virgin's womb and go through everything He went through in this life. And God would send His Son so that you and I might be saved. And now He longs for and wants all to be saved. That's something I don't understand. Why would He care about someone like you and someone like me? Why would He care about us? I might could understand Him caring about the president. I might could understand Him caring about the vice president. I might could understand Him caring about some big name rich person, right? Somebody that's high notoriety or prestige. Might could understand that. But why would He care about me and do all that for me and long for me to have a personal relationship with Him and know Him and to be able to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him and have my sins forgiven so that I didn't take and die and go to hell? Why? I don't understand, do you? I don't understand all that. I've thought about this many times throughout my life. Why? I don't understand it. But you know what? I know that it's true. I know that it's true, and I know that He did all that so that I might be saved. I know, and it's been said many times before, but it's so true, that if I or you was the only person on this earth, He would have done all that so that you and so that me could be saved. See, He longs for the lost to be saved. That's why He did everything that He did. And you don't have to understand it. You just simply have to know and believe and place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is truly something that He longs for the lost to be saved. That He would die for the lost while they were sinners, yet Christ died. That He loves us, and that's why He came simply for us. I could say, well, you know why He comes. You understand why He comes then, Pastor, because He loves you. But I don't understand His love, so guess what? If I don't understand His love, then I really don't understand why He did it, right? You see, I don't understand this morning. I do not, you say, I didn't come to see it here. The pastor say he didn't understand all morning long. I come to get some understanding and some help. Well, you know, sometimes the best way to understand is to realize what you don't understand, but yet realize what you know. You see, some people take what I'm saying this morning as they spend their whole life studying. And we ought to study the Scriptures, don't take me wrong. They spend their whole life studying a subject, and still die and don't understand it. But you know what? That doesn't affect the fact of whether you believe or not. You see, you don't have to say, well, one day when I understand it all, I'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't understand how He could do that for me and how this could be true. Hey, I don't understand it all either, but you know what? I believe it. And He longs for all to be saved. He wants for you to be saved. That's why He did it. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. We're in the same boat, ain't we? Do you understand this morning? Do you understand? Maybe you do understand this morning all these things, but I don't. He doesn't ask us to understand. Instead, He asks us to do one simple thing, and I've said this many times, but let me give you some Scripture this morning to back up what I'm saying. Turn to Romans 10. And we usually take Romans 10 and use it a lot when we're sharing the message of the Gospel. But we skip some verses, and this morning we're going to just read a few verses and let the Scripture speak. Because it's so clear this morning concerning salvation and concerning other things in our lives. I hope you'll take and look at the principle that we've looked at this morning and realize there's a lot of things in Scripture that we don't understand. You know what we need to do? We need to pray and ask the Lord to give us understanding. The book of Proverbs talks about that. And He will in some cases. But you say, I still don't understand it. It's 10 years later, and I've been saying, Lord, show me understanding. Don't worry about it. Keep praying, keep reading, keep asking the Lord to give you understanding. If it's His will, He will. And if He don't, then doesn't let that affect whether you believe what His Word says or not. You see, it shouldn't affect it. Notice Romans 10 in verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire here, and prayer to God for Israel. And I could say this for the lost around us, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Boy, there's so many like that today that are lost. They have a knowledge of God. They need to be saved. But guess what? They might even be doing good things. They might even be going to church. They might be having some zeal to do good things. Just because they want to do good things. They think it's maybe their ticket to heaven, or they do good just to help out. All that's good. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. Not that you have to understand it all, but you simply believe. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach. That's what the message of the gospel is. The death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that a person has to fully understand everything there is about it and know all the ifs, ands, or buts, but simply that they place their faith, their belief, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Admitting they're a sinner. Placing one's belief and faith and trust in Christ and what He's done. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt understand it all in thine heart. No, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, notice that again, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 17 of the same chapter, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, what are you saying this morning, Pastor? I'm simply saying this, that you don't have to understand everything in the world. You don't have to understand everything in the Scripture. Although we want to understand these things and we ought to study them and we ought to pray, Lord, give me understanding of the things in Scriptures. But you know what? We don't have to understand it all. We just simply need to believe and place our faith and our trust in Him. I think about what the Bible said. It was either three or four times, if my memory is correct. The just shall live by faith. You see, this morning we're saved by faith. We're saved by faith, simply placing one's belief and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, for a person to be saved, the only thing they've really got to know and understand is that they're a sinner and there was a Savior. And the only way to be forgiven of those sins and to be saved and not spend eternity in hell is through what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. And you're willing to bow the knee and place your faith and your trust in Him and in that alone. You say, Lord, as the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you simply place just like that childlike faith. That's why children can be saved. That's why an 8-year-old, a 4 or 5-year-old can even be saved. You say you believe that? I do. Because you don't have to understand all those things. All you got to do is place that simple faith of a child in Him. And so many today will not get saved because they say, well, I don't understand. I don't see how all that can be possible. What are they really saying? I don't understand it, so I'm not going to believe it. But folks, I submit to you this morning, there's a lot of things in life, a lot of things that I don't know nor understand. But thank the Lord, there's some things that I know, but I don't understand. This morning, do I ask you these simple questions? Do you know this morning that Jesus loves you? You can know that even though you don't understand it. This morning, do you know that He lives and that He's there? Do you know this morning, even though you don't understand it, that He longs, if you're lost, for you to be saved? And do you know this morning that for those of us that are saved, He longs for a daily relationship with you and me in prayer, in Bible reading, and He longs for us to serve Him? We might not understand why He called us to go through some of the things we go through in our lives sometimes, and with our age-old questions that we always say is, I don't understand why the Lord's allowing this or why the Lord's putting me through this. Guess what? Back up. Some things I don't understand, but I know. You see, you don't have to understand. All you got to do is realize who you know. Because after all, ain't that what we say sometimes? It's who you know. And this morning I submit to you, it's about who you know and what you know. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and your Savior? Do you know Him? I think about the song that we sing sometimes, He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there is none other has ever known. You see, I don't understand, nor will I ever understand God. I've always thought that was funny. I have a graduate of theology degree. It's up there. As a matter of fact, a copy of it's in the office in there. But I ain't graduated at studying God. I could study my whole life. I'd never understand Him because I have a finite mind. But I don't have to understand Him. All I have to do is simply place my faith and belief and trust in Him. Amen? And that's all He asks. Today, have you placed your faith in Him for salvation? Have you placed your faith in Him for what you're facing in your life? And I ask you today, is there some things that you know, but maybe you don't understand? Give those things to the Lord, and He might help to give you some understanding. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for all that You've done. Dear Lord, we thank You today that You created us and made us just the perfect, just the way You would have us to be. Dear Lord, we're imperfect human beings, but dear Lord, we're highly blessed. We're imperfect, but yet we can be forgiven and become one of your children. Dear Father, if we'll just yet take and believe with the faith of a child, admitting we're a sinner, believing in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, confessing that with our mouth, praying and asking you to save us. Dear Lord, I pray today if there happens to be one or two here that's never truly placed their faith and their trust in you, that instead they've been going on what they know or understand. Dear Father, I pray that you would help that one or two to be saved. Dear Lord, I pray for those of us that do know you as our Savior. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to stop grappling over the understanding of things in our lives a lot of times. But instead, help us to realize the one that we know and take the things that we don't know to you and don't understand to you. And if you give us understanding, praise the Lord. And if you don't, we praise you anyway. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.